in your job and in the Douglas. What were your feelings about what you were going to do in there?
Well, I hated to give up my job. I really liked it, and I'd like to go on ahead with it, but I couldn't go move to Santa Monica. But I really hated more than anything to ever give up that job. But then, when we had to, well, I had to accept it, you know. Then I went into real estate after that, later on.
And did you say that you got collected unemployment?
Yes.
Right after your job?
Yes. They let me collect. I drew two times. Why? I don't know, but they allowed me to draw two times. They would offer me jobs, but if they didn't give me something equal like what I was doing, and equal pay and everything, then I didn't have to accept it. So I went on and I drew twice.
Could you tell me how you found out about unemployment? And
well, they told us to go up and put in for unemployment.
When
we got let out, yes. When they let us out, they told us to go and put in for unemployment.
So what was that process like?
What, for the unemployment?
Yes.
Well, you go up there and you put in your application. They'd ask you different questions of what you could do and what you were capable of, your experience and things like that. And if they had anything for you, why, they would tell you. If you didn't have, why, you didn't have to accept it. So I kept on going twice, and after that, then I went in and took training on real estate.
You collected money twice
at
different times?
Yeah. I kept on after I got through with the first, I don't know, it was 26 weeks or whatever it was at that time. I don't recall how many weeks or whatever it was at that time. And then they said I could go ahead and reapply again, so I did. Well, sure.
Sure.
But I applied two times. Anyway, I got it two times. So that's what I done.
Now, when you said that you had to go there and apply, where was there?
I believe it was at 1313 Pine Avenue. I believe is where it was at. I know that's where it's been for 7 years. And if I recall, I think that's where it was at the time. I had to go uptown to apply. Now, it might have been somewhere else, but I went with other people to 1313 Pine, and that's the only place that I recall that we went to. It was like I say, we might have gone to another place. Wherever they told us to go, we went. So I'm not sure. I just can't recall something that way.
Did you have to go down to pick up your money, or did they mail it to you? How would that work?
I think they told us about time to come in, and we had to go back in and pick it up. Because if they'd have a job for us, then we'd have to accept the job and wouldn't get the pay. And as long as we couldn't accept the job, well, we still got the pay. So I would accept the job if it was something that I could do and it would pay the same as I was getting, but I wasn't going to take anything that I couldn't do. And they didn't have anything much. You see, at that time, there were so many people let out of Douglas. There was 25,000, I think, the first time. And I forget how many they said the second layoff, and they kept laying off people all the time because the war was supposed to be over. That was in 45. So they, the government, I guess, didn't have money to pay them. So if they didn't have jobs for them, what could they do? So I don't know what other people done, but few people, though, they went to Santa Monica. But I couldn't leave my family and go there. I could have stayed at my sister's apartment, but why should I do that? When I had a young girl here and my husband and two boys, I felt like I couldn't go over there. So I had to give it up. And what they was offering me, it was on assembly line, and I wouldn't like that. But if I could have done it, and could have gone, if I'd had a car that I could go back and forth, that was another thing. See, I didn't have transportation. I might have accepted it and went anyway and worked. Because I did hate, that was one job that I hated to give up worse than any job I've ever had. But it was one of those things, and I couldn't blame them for taking back some of the people that already worked there, but some people wouldn't give up their jobs whether yes or no. They kept the lawyers from getting the jobs back again.
What was your
husband doing? Well, he was shipwright for quite a while, and then he went into the carpentry work. And he worked for carpentry for a long, long time. And whatever time it was that they took out for Social Security, he was working as a carpenter. But he didn't like the shipwright as well as he did carpenter. But he was lucky to get in the carpenter trade for a long, long time, and he worked that till he couldn't work any longer. So he belonged to the union, of course, and they helped him, too, to get jobs. But that helped us, though, for him to have a job. There was about a year and a half, though, neither one of us had a job. We had to borrow money from the bank to pay on our mortgage. And we gave our automobile as security. Well, we told him the boy had to drive the car to college up in L.A. So one day, here come a guy from the bank. He says, "Where's your car?" He said, "You're supposed to keep it out here in the garage." I said, "We told you that boy had to use that car when we borrowed the money." And I said, "We keeping our word, and we want you to keep yours." So he didn't say any more. He just said he wanted to check to see why the car wasn't here. Well, it'll be here when he gets back from home. We don't use it for other things, but he had to use it to go take his 4-year study. And so that was all of us took. Then after we got that, I think we borrowed $250, we got that paid off. Then finally, I think Roy got a job, something, I think it was carpeting, something, do some kind of carpeting work. And then later on, I think, I'm not sure, it was 46, next year that I went into real estate, or took real estate.
Was your husband able to collect unemployment as well?
I don't know whether he did or not. I think he did in time, but he didn't right away. Not when he was, whether he quit the shipyards himself, I'm not sure. It seems to me like he did. I don't think he got laid off, because I think he could have gone ahead and worked there, but I don't think he liked it well enough. And if I remember right, I might find some of these papers around here of his receipts, and I could find out for sure. They're out in the little house with a whole mess of receipts. But I just can't recall now whether he drew any unemployment or not, because I never paid any attention to that. All I was worried about was trying to get money to meet our bills and pay our mortgage. And we didn't owe on the car, because my husband gave my brother, I think he paid $90 for the car, and he sold it to my husband for $95, a Model A. So he paid cash for that. But then my brother-in-law and my sister lived with us all over a year, and then they went out and got jobs for themselves. And they worked in Bel Air and Santa Monica and different places like that.
You mean what kind of work?
Oh, housework. He was a butler, and she was a cook. And worked for these well-to-do people. They worked for Art Linkletter. They worked for him when his wife was pregnant for the Diane. I think she was the one that killed herself. Mary always felt so bad, and she always liked little Diane. Little Diane would come in the kitchen, and she'd say, call her Marie. She couldn't say Mary. Mary would give her a cookie back so the others wouldn't see her, you know. Oh, Mary is mean that way. And she'd run to the kitchen while they'd run after her and tell her, get out of the kitchen, stay out and away from Mary. Mary, the other thing she could coax her into come to the that Mary, she's a quick carter. But she got such a kick out of it, because they worked for years and years that way. And they worked for, what did they work for? They worked for people that had money, you know. They worked for a lot of Jews. And my sister was such a wonderful good cook, but she learned to cook any kind of food, you know. At one time, she was up in Simi, California, working for a party, and the guy from the Waldorf Astoria house or hotel come in, and he ate there that day, so he come back to the kitchen to where Mary was. He said, if you quit this job, he said, you can get a job anytime you want it at the Waldorf Astoria. He said, I've never eaten such a meal. And she had fixed the table, it was, I think around Thanksgiving time, if I recall. She'd gone out and got those cones, she colored, or she put stuff on them, and she fixed that table. She's very creative. I never was creative. When I get a meal, I sat on the table and tell them to eat. That's what I wouldn't be able to work for these jobs. These people could, they have to have everything to be so. And that's nice. Mary was good at it, you know, and she knew what they wanted, and she always satisfied. She worked long time for every place she ever worked, so she was a wonderful cook. But so many of them tried to get her recipes, so she would have given the recipes. If they loved her recipes, she'd do something out or put something else in the place of it. And some of them would try the recipe and say, we can't make it like you do. I said, well, I can't make it like she does even if I have it right. I never was lucky. You know, I'm not very good cook, but I never was so lucky. But she was wonderful cook, and Nina was a very good cook. She worked, too, after so long time, and she worked the same place where Mary and Georgia were. And, they worked a long time up Bel Air and all around it there. And the people would say, well, we'll leave you something, you know, when you're through with it. They'd never let them anything. What they ever got, they got while they was working. But sometimes they paid good. Now, at Christmas time, they'd give them a bonus, pretty nice. But none of them ever left them anything. Now, some people would, but sometimes they, I don't know whether they forgot or not. Some of them would remarry, you know, and then the new ones coming in, well, they wouldn't leave nobody anything. We have a woman living out here at Leisure World that her, before she got married, he was promised Mary a lot, you know, that he was going to leave her bonds and this and that and the other. Well, when this woman married him, Mary never got born or nothing. But then Mary said, well, she said, she'd probably leave it worse than Mary did, so she never felt bad about it. She said, what I get, I feel it's wonderful, and if I don't get it, I don't worry about it, which is a good attitude, too. Why worry about it when you don't get it? Now, this president of our club, she used to, well, the doctors used to send her to places where people were pretty ready to die, and she has got a lot of stuff from these people just about it. One time she got a home out of it, so she's been pretty lucky. And the last time she took care of a man, he'd give her bonds beforehand, and he gave her money, and she went to Las Vegas and bought her a beautiful home. I don't know why she wants such a big home, but it's her business, not mine. But I think she was always jealous of anybody that owned a home. They'd never owned a home until they got the little home. They got the little one there in Englewood. Well, I think she's kind of ashamed of it. I said, I'm never ashamed of anything. I said, I don't have a big house like a lot of the queens have, a lot of the people have. But I said, you know, that don't worry me one bit. It's a home to me, and it's mine. And I'm proud of it. I can't keep it up like some people do, but I don't worry about it if I don't keep it up like some people. But why work yourself to death with cleaning all the time and all the time? I said, mine gets dusty, I have to clean it anyhow, so I don't worry. So, but some people are that way, and they're jealous of the neighbors, like they want to live like the Joneses did. It never made any difference what the Joneses bought, in other words, that is, anybody bought anything. As long as they paid for it, as long as they don't get me, I didn't care what they would got. And I think that's the way a person ought to be. Because I don't begrudge anybody anything or what they get, as long as they don't take my stuff and sell it.
How did you get started in real estate?
Well, I heard about that they had a school up in town, and I took it from Dayton. His name is on that little card I give you. He was running a school up on, it was on Long Beach Boulevard at that time, or American Avenue, whichever it was at one time, different. But I believe it was on 10th and American, I believe, at that time. And I'd go up there and go to school, and then I got my license for, not the broker's license, but a license that I could work in real estate. But I worked mostly on renting apartments.
How long was the school? How long did you have to go to
school? Not too awfully long. Maybe during the summer, I think I went, but it wasn't too many weeks till I could pass the exam. That was the main thing, and I passed it all right as early as I could. We studied and passed the exam, so that's all I needed. And then I worked for Dagley then, and then I worked for Wren Talbot. I quit Dagley after so long time, went to work for Wren Talbot, and then I think Wren died or something. He was a Monty police, Long Beach Monty police. And, oh, he was so proud of that silver on his horse. Oh, harness, you know. And then I worked for Herschel Hart. He used to be a principal out here at Lakewood. I think my employees went to him, I believe it is. I worked for him up on Ocean Boulevard, but I never sold any houses. I would try to tell these people to come in to rent apartments. I said, why don't you go out and buy? And a few of them went out and bought, but they wouldn't come back to me and buy through me, so they bought somewhere else, and I've had, oh, I'll bet you half a dozen or more come back to me in time. And they said, we're so sorry we didn't come back and buy you. I said, why? I said, you can buy at any real estate. I said, I didn't begrudge you of going to anybody. They said, I told the truth about anything that I had to rent or anything I had to sell. Well, the worst trouble is these older ones in real estate, they, I don't know whether you call them bright or what you call them, but anyway, they're smart enough that they could go over my head and take the houses away from me and talk to the owners and get them to sign up with them, maybe a little bit more reasonable or different than what they signed up with me, and they could get by with it. Well, I couldn't do that, because when I had anything to rent or anything to try to sell, I told the people the truth about what they were getting. And I said, your eye is supposed to be be experienced on what to buy. But I knew things about the way some of them were selling. Now, when some of the boys first came back, several of them wanted to buy. Some of the real estate people were so crooked, they sold those boys worm-eaten sills on their houses. Now, they could say what they want to, but if I had tried that, they'd have took my license away from them. But these older ones could get by with anything. And I would bring that up in our meetings. We had a meeting every Tuesday morning, breakfast. And I just loved those meetings because we learned a lot of things. Because if anything come up in election, we'd get both sides. And they'd tell us all about anything, and we'd make our own mind, you know. And that was wonderful. Those things were really, I missed those morning breakfasts, because I always liked to eat anyway, but I always missed those Tuesday morning breakfasts. And then another time, someone sold some property down at Palm Springs that belonged to the Indians. But if you bought some of that property, and then the Indians, they finally give it back to the Indians somewhere, I forget how it was anyway, you could take your building off of the property, but you couldn't have the property. But you was paying for that property. Now, that was another thing that I never could see that was right in real estate. And I still don't to this day, because I would resent somebody trying to sell me something that was wrong. And then you find out about it after you paid down all the books. Now, another guy worked with me, and he got $2,500 down. Well, at that time, there wasn't anything said that he would have to give the money back to them if they didn't take the property or if he would take it off the market. They could do either one. Well, if I recall right, I think he took it off the market, but he went out and bought him an automobile with that $2,500. He says, Bowman, that's the way you should do it. I says, I call that crooked. He says, no, that's just how he said. Anyway, it was supposed to be all right. I said, they'd take my license away from me if I do a trick like that. I said, I don't do that way. Well, he said, you won't ever make good in real estate. Well, I didn't. He told the truth on that, because I couldn't. I could sell to myself, but I wasn't able to sell to other people. And then there was one time there were two couples come in, and they wanted to rent a place. Well, they decided to go together. And boy, if we didn't have a time with those two couples, you can't imagine how hellish some people can be. Someone would get up early in the morning, they'd be in the bathroom all morning, wouldn't let the other couple in, and then, I never saw such a mess in my life, and it was up and down that way. They'd come back, and I'd say, well, then someone would leave and let the other party pay the whole thing. I says, that's not my fault. I says, I told you when you went together, I said, you're going to have problems, but I said, you thought I didn't know what I was talking about, but I says, now you can come back and I can tell you, not that I want to say I told you so, but I said, I knew what might happen. I said, I didn't know it was going to happen because I thought people could act like human beings, but they can't. And, of course, sometimes one guy would get a little bit too fresh with the other party and this and that. Oh, I don't know. Your human nature is a funny thing, if you ask me, but who can control them? So, like I told him, I said, well, all I can do, and they said, well, how are we going to pay for it? I said, I don't know. I said, you pay my fee when you come in to rent a place, and that's all I have to do is to tell you where to go and where the apartment is and tell you about it and what you have to pay a month. At that time, you had to pay off a high rent, you know, even at that day. And it was hard when some of them didn't have much of a job, you know, it was hard to pay that high rent. Now, I don't know how people are making their rent. I don't tell me how they're making it. I don't know how. I can't see it. I'm sure glad I'm not in real estate. But I wish to goodness that I could have sold houses, because I could have made a lot of money if I could have sold, because I'd get 10% every house I would sell. Well, I only get a certain percent, more like a salary on renting the apartment. And so that's the way it worked. And then another time I went in with another person, a neighbor down here wanted me to go in with her, and I can't think what his name is. He died not too long after. But he didn't want to pay the insurance. At that time, they had to pay the insurance when you worked for them. So he said, well, if I was you, I'd give up the the license. I said, okay, I'll send mine back in state so I never worked again after. But I couldn't cope with some of these older people. Now, I don't know whether they pull that stunt yet or not, but I imagine they do. Yes, I know they do because my granddaughter was going to buy a place up in Oregon. That was something else, too. And the guy, he was going to make them sign that if my grandson would lose his job, why, somebody would have to pay him full price on that house. He wanted that sign and wanted the kids to sign that way. So they called up their dad. Well, their dad sure opened their eyes. They said, don't you sign anything like that. Now, why didn't he sign something that to help them as well as trying to help him? He was trying to pull a fast one. Well, he took it off the market after a long time, because when it's without seeing, he takes it off the market to pull a fast one like that. But my son, he knows pretty well on business. He took business in college, and he's a very good businessman. You don't pull much wool over his eyes. So, boy, and call him. He told her, he said, don't you sign anything like that. He said, that guy has no right to get you folks to sign anything like that. You'd already promised you'd take the house, and they liked the house pretty well, and it was a little bit cheaper. And then he wanted to come up on the price. Brennan says, nothing doing. He said, he offered it a certain price. He says, let the guy take it off the market. And then he said, I like to see him sell it. Well, he hasn't sold it yet. Oh, Brennan, he's pretty independent that way. But I don't blame him. Now, he would do good in real estate when I'm too easy. You see, I'm too easy that way. But I cannot see misrepresenting anything. I don't understand why they allowed you. Because they tell me that they can take your license away. That's down in your study for the exam and everything, that if you misrepresent, you can lose your license. Well, then why don't they make these older ones lose their license? They're just smart enough to go around. They have loopholes to jump through, just like the lawyers. Look how the lawyers do, boy, boy. So that's trouble in real estate. But,
I was going to ask you how long you worked in real estate.
Well, if I recall right, it was less than 2 years, I believe. I worked different ones, you know, but I worked for Bigley Belongings. I walked over here to Anaheim Street, and we had an office there. And they worked, but up at Talbot's now, the other girl that worked there, she worked in insurance. Well, I wish I could have got in on insurance. Now, I would have done better, because you can sell insurance and don't have the trouble like you do on real estate. And I just was no good, and yet I worked in public from the time I was 7 years of age, working in a store, you know, and work with people. But I was just no good. I wasn't strong enough to sell to people. I couldn't make them see my point of view. I couldn't put it over for them, which I was always sorry, because the folks back home, they just thought I'd be real good in real estate. But I didn't, because like I say, I just couldn't be crooked, and when I find out how some of them pull the stunts, why, I would bring that up in the meeting, and they'd have to tell me shut my mouth. That's what they tell me. So what you going to do? So it's like I told the last guy. I said, well, I can't cope with the crooks, so what am I going to do? I said, I might just as well quit. Well, he said he couldn't carry me on insurance. So he finally died, and I don't know how long he lived after that. But the girl, she went ahead and sold real estate, though, but she got to be a broker. That was a neighbor of mine down here. And we could have worked together and sold houses. She sold a $300,000 deal. Well, she got a good deal of money on something like that, like, pennies coming in, buying these places, you know, and Ward, Montgomery Ward and all those big people, you know. Well, one time I know she sold a $300,000 home, property. Well, if I could have done something like that, then I'd have been sitting on Easy Street, but I wasn't. I never was able to make money like some people now. Even at the races, I don't make money, big money, like a lot of them do. Now, maybe I'm not supposed to have much money. I don't know that I have enough to do, so I guess it's no use for me to complain. But I don't seem to be lucky enough to hit those big deals that way. Those papers there, they wanted me to join up to be a millionaire. I think that's the funniest thing from Canada. Take the papers and look it over. Take it home with you if you want to. Oh, yeah. What do they think I am? They want me to pay out a lot of money. Well, it's just like that pyramid. The first guys who get their money, I see with some of them soon. Well, I don't think they're going to get very far, because they got brains enough to know how a pyramid works or how these here chains the top crews never get what you're supposed to. When they get to the top, why, there's nothing there from the bottom as long as the others come not coming in. I can't understand people being so, I don't know, am I dumb or not? I don't think I am on something like that. I can see through things that way, and I'm not easy taking on anything like that. I said, I never had $500 anyway, or $1,000 to put in on a pyramid. But some of those big shots, you see, they gain because they grab their money just as soon as enough of them come in, and away they went. Oh, God. And that's against the law, too. No, that's from Canada, that paper. And some time ago, it's been 3 or 4 months ago, here I got Irish treat sticks. Well, you can't send over to Ireland and get your those receipts back. You know, you're supposed to get a receipt back from there that they've received your money and everything. Well, so many post offices, they say it's illegal and they won't let you have the receipts. Because a friend of the president of the club, they was sending, and one of the girls, she wouldn't give me my receipt back. I said, I'll never buy any more of it if you don't give me receipts. She said, you don't have to have receipts. I said, yes, you do. I said, if I can't get a receipt, I won't ever buy any more of it. I'll never buy any more of it. But I give those books away to somebody else. I said, well, because if somebody in Canada that I knew I could trust, then I could send them to them and then let them turn them in and then let them come back to them and they could send them to me, but the post office won't do it. Now, one postmaster won one time and he refused to let the Queen get those receipts back. And she says, well, you won a lot of money. And she says, why don't you just throw them out there in the trash and let me go pick them up? He says, no, it's illegal. He says, then how come you kept your money? You kept your money. Oh, she blew her top on it, and I don't blame her. So they quit, I think, fine, because it's against the law anyway. And if you did win, how are you going to get it unless you go over there and get it? So I don't deal in that, and I don't deal with the bookies, because there's too many of them on account of Dudley being a policeman. I don't want to get them in trouble, and I don't want to do anything that will harm Dudley, too, because they catch these bookies sometimes. But I can't understand why the bookies can't be licensed so that they'll pay into the state. Now, why aren't they licensed so they can be bookies? I wouldn't mind buying from a bookie if they had license that they are legal. But I can't understand why that the government or whoever takes care of it, why they don't see that they're licensed. Because they get paid. Because look how much money is passed in the thousands of dollars and they don't get out. And a lot of the bookies are crooked too, but I've never dealt with any because I know several of them have asked me to, but I said, no, I said, I don't want to get you in trouble, and I said, I don't want to get in trouble either, because I said, I have a son-in-law that he's a policeman, and I said, he will, if he finds out that you is a bookie, he's liable to arrest you, and I said, I don't want to mix up in anything like that. So I never have dealt with the bookies because